allow me to indulge. I'm a little bit shaky today, and shaky because I'm just kind of a little bit overwhelmed. It was 30 years ago tomorrow that my family and I started at Calvary Baptist Church. 30 years, my family and I have been blessed by the hospitality and the love and the friendship of the people of Whittier, but especially the people from Calvary Baptist Church. Father, thank you so much for this gift to us. We thank you for our church. Thank you for the time that you've given us to minister together. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of Great Britain, of England. And in 1940, June 4th, to be specific, after the evacuation of Dunkirk, this amazing flotilla of rescue of thousands upon thousands of troops on the shore of France, Churchill stood before the House of Commons and he said these words: "Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo, and all the old and famous and odious apparatus of the Nazi rule, we will not flag nor fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the battlefields, in the fields, and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills, and we shall never surrender." If that man and his country were so courageous and so resolved, surely we, God's people, fight on, and we fight on our knees, confident in God's promised, patient, and speedy justice, spoken and promised to his people. I'm going to read this morning from Luke chapter 18. Now, these words from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, were spoken right on the heels of the Pharisees having asked Jesus, I'm sure with really mixed reasons for asking this question, but they asked him, when will the kingdom of God come? That's in chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, verse 20. When will this come? And Jesus told them, it's not going to come with constant signs and wonders. It's not going to come then. It's not going to come with spectacular things in the clouds. And then he told them about how God promises judgment. And when he judges, when he acts speedily, speedily. Listen to these words. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, from the New International Version. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show that they should always pray, and never give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused her request. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Three simple things. We should always pray and never give up. God will give justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. And when God provides justice, he acts, that justice comes quickly. The overall theme of this text of Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, begins actually with the first words. You know, when Jesus told parables, he didn't necessarily point out what the principle was at the beginning. He said that he spoke in parables so that those who had ears to hear would hear, but also to, in a sense, to hide the truth from those who did not have ears to hear. And sometimes those parables came across as a true mystery to the people around him. And they put his disciples on the alert. We need to be paying attention to Jesus and what he's teaching. But in this parable, he begins by telling them right up front, This is my message. And then he tells the story. And that big idea is we should always pray. We should always pray and never give up. Again, this was in the context of speaking to the Pharisees and to the disciples about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. When is it? Well, Jesus stood up in front of his disciples. He stood up in front of the people who were even skeptical of him. And he said to them, the kingdom of God is among you. It's here and now. What was he talking about, that kingdom? He was talking about himself. He was there. He was present. And he's the king of the universe. He's the king of everything. He's the boss. Along through the years, there were times when over and over again, decade after decade, century after century, that God's people would from time to time say, how long, O Lord? Will you ignore our pleas forever? Will it be forever that those who are unjust, those who are unkind, those who move with tremendously selfish ambition, the bad guys, is this going to go on forever that the bad guys, the rich and the influential, the power mongers, is this going to be forever? How long, O Lord? Will you forget us forever? And God provided and provided and provided. He provided judges along the way, and he provided some kings along the way. But he kept on promising a kingdom that would never end. It was, well, he's always been God, and he's always been on the throne. Now, Jesus stood among them and said, "The kingdom of God is among you." But they were concerned about these in-between times, these in-between times that were full of sin and sinful people, times that we could refer to as the times when it seemed like life and everything around them was broken. He was also talking, and even at in this moment, referring to a time when everything would be made right. And he said that because he wanted his disciples to know that he would always be with them. Even in the midst of those difficult times when he actually told them in John chapter 16, there's going to come a time when they're going to drag you out of the synagogues. And as they do that, they're going to think as they torture you to death, that they're doing God a favor. And so he spoke, and when the Pharisees asked this question, he talked about how God acts, and therefore they should pray always and never give up. He tells them, he sends their minds back to the days of Noah, when life was really out of control. And people were worshiping themselves and everything that was, everything they could lay their hands on. Life was evil. In the days of Noah, God told Noah, "Go out and build this ark. I'm going to bring down the hammer. I'm going to bring down the heavens. I'm going to bring down a flood." And he brought it down, and he brought it up from the ground as well. When God judges, he acts speedily. Then there were the days of Lot. And once again, God says, "I'm going to judge. Listen, I'm going to judge." And life seemed to be going on as it was always, and evil was rampant. And God said, "I'm going to bring down the hammer." And just like that, he judged. And he said, "So it will be. So it will be. In the day of the judgment of the Son of God," verse 30 of chapter 17, "it will be like this on the day of the Son of Man," and he always referred to himself as the Son of Man, "when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods beside him or inside the house should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it." Verse 33. "And whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you that on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken and the other left." It'll happen speedily, just like that. And so Jesus told his disciples, he was encouraging them, you should always pray and never give up. Do pay attention. His message to them then, his message is to us now. Do pay attention to what's going on around you. God is always at work. So we should always pray. And we should not give up, ever, ever. Pray and don't give up. The second thing that Jesus was striking toward, it begins with verse 6. And the Lord said, this is chapter 18, verse 6. The Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says." Now just go back, or just what happened? He said, "And just, I'll give her what she wants now so that this doesn't continue on and on." Well, in verse 7, Jesus says, and will not God bring justice? If the unjust judge would do that, will not God, who is the just, righteous God, will not God give justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? In the questions that I gave you, you should have seen these online, I ask a couple questions like, when have you ever felt like giving up when you were praying? Has it ever happened? Where you thought, I've prayed this over and over and over again. I don't know that I should go on with this. It's almost discouraging to keep praying. Well, God will give justice to those who keep crying out to him day and night, as this woman did, crying out for justice against her adversary. I know that as I preach this message, the word justice is, it's rightfully so, kind of front and center. This is a timely message about praying and not giving up as people cry out for cultural and racial justice. The word that Jesus uses for justice, he combines the notion of to judge, and then justice coming out of that act of judging. This justice is that which proceeds from God's justice. It is that which proceeds from his righteousness. It is that which proceeds to happen as a result of doing, acting in the right way. If you were using the King James Bible, it says that it doesn't use the word justice there. It says that he will avenge. And this is part of the whole issue where God will make things right. This contrast, once again, if an unjust judge, if a judge who says, I don't believe in God, I don't believe that there is a, I don't believe that there is a, that the Bible is, or that there is any absolute truth. The truth is kind of a slippery thing, according to the eyes of an unjust judge. But he says, "I'll do this because I feel the pressure, and I don't want to just have this woman constantly badgering me." Well, certainly, God will be responsive. Jesus promises this. God will be responsive to the prayers of his holy people. You believe that? Do you really believe that God will be responsive to the prayers of his people? You know, I want to move. I want you to just see what God thinks and what he says about this. Would you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. This past week, I've been doing my regular chronological read of the entire Bible, and it had me this week reading and studying about the life of one of the decent kings of Judah, the southern kingdom, the southern tribes of the people of God, after the two sides had split between Israel and Judah. And King Jehoshaphat was one of those one of the few good kings and righteous kings. And even at that, he had his own feet of clay, and there were times that He didn't quite finish the job in terms of removing the some of the shrines. He didn't remove all the shrines to the pagan gods. But listen to what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 4 and following. Jehoshaphat, verse 4, Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and turned those people back to the Lord, to Yahweh, the God of their fathers. He appointed judges in the land. In each of the fortified cities of Judah, he appointed judges. He told them, consider carefully what you do, very carefully, because, and this is the key right here, because you are not judging for man, but for Yahweh, for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. When these judges, this is what a judge that fears the Lord, who recognizes he's there. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you judges. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God, there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. God says clearly to all judges, you need to judge fairly. And that needs to be conditioned by you understanding that God is present and you are accountable to him far more than legal eagles, legal minds, legal manipulators of the laws of the land. God doesn't show partiality. The truth is the truth to God. Righteousness is righteousness to God. And God expected from his judges, as Jehoshaphat prepared these people, the one thing you need to remember is God, the holy, righteous God, is present with you. And so, go back to the message that Jesus had about the kingdom as he spoke to the Pharisees and his disciples who were listening in when they asked, when is the kingdom coming? He said, listen, it is here. And when the justice that you say you want happens, it will happen speedily. When God puts his finger on what the issue is, when God does, things change. And they change speedily. Do you believe it? Again, I ask, do you believe it? When God acts, when he judges, when he brings justice, when he brings righteousness, he does so speedily. Verse 8 focuses our attention to this fact that God's justice comes quickly. Verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get righteousness. He will see that they get a righteous judgment and that they will get that quickly. However, and now he asks this question about faith. When you're praying, will the Son of Man find faith when he comes, faith on the earth? I want you to think seriously for a moment about how it is and when God acts. Remember, when he acts, remember all God's people? Throughout the Old Testament, this common refrain, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long will it be? I wonder how often we've cried that out. Lord, it just doesn't seem like the justice that I wanted. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen. Now, some of you know I've talked about allow me to indulge. This is my anniversary, so here in the pulpit, let me indulge myself for a minute, talking once again about my route anxiety. I worry, did I take the right road? I worry, did I get in the right line? Well, yesterday I was at, I've been spending a lot of time these days on a project. I've been spending a lot of time at Home Depot. And, I've stood in lines, and that was to be expected, wearing a mask and pushing a cart and kind of avoiding the aisles that I needed to avoid or not crowding anybody. I've been patient with this system. But yesterday I was there, I found myself suddenly in a long line. I was the second person in line, and it took about probably 8 minutes for me to check out. 8 minutes. I thought it would be within probably, I'm right there, 2 minutes, and I only had four things in my basket, and it would have been just click, 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 here's my card, gone. As the line backed up behind me, and actually I turned around and saw our missionaries, about six or seven people behind me, James and Kay Chambers, I saw them back there in the line. And the lady in front of me had about probably maybe 10, I'm not exaggerating, at least 10 good-sized plants that filled up her basket. And the very wonderful and only cashier that was there, the only cashier in the garden center, the only one, decided that she would do a little public relations, and she said to this lady, "Do you have a Home Depot credit card?" And she said, "No." "Would you like to apply for one today?" And that process, I have to tell you, I'm saying, how long? How long is this going to have to go on? And I was almost sensing that it was, is it my role right now when I finally get up to that cashier to politely say to her, this was probably not a good time with all these people in line to ask this person if she needed a credit. But you know what? I left my how long, oh Lord, with the Lord. And for that, I'm just thrilled with my control. Right. That's why I'm telling this story. God is working the long game. Please hear this. When God's people cry out for justice, as we go through year after year and century after century, God is working the long game. And what is it that he's after in this long game? Well, he is not only Jesus was present, he was present there, that king, who was doing this very, very hugely important kingly act of going to the cross to establish righteousness in the lives of his people, a cleanness of soul and spirit. And God was doing, after all those years, those centuries, he was working the long game. And he's still working the long game to fit people for heaven. I want you to turn with me, please. You'll need to do this. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 3, all the words. So I want you to follow along. I'm reading again from the New International Version. You just let your eyes go over this and understand the long game that God is working. And specifically, we're going to, right at the heart of this, verse 9, will help us understand a little bit more about what he's doing. Verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to have the right thoughts. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, in this whole picture, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on just as they have since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed. By God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth were reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. We don't like to think of those words, but this is God's justice. Verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord a day, we cry out how long? With the Lord a day is a thousand years, and a thousand years like a single day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. So impatient. Proven over and over again. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to, circle it, repentance. He wants everyone to get to that point. And we will all be frustrated with God's pace until we understand the depths of that reality, repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Understand, when God acts, he acts quickly, catching, it seems like, so many by surprise. The day of the Lord will come quickly like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience, his patience, means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. God is working the long game because of his tremendous love for people and giving people people everywhere time to repent. You know, in the midst of all of the, some of these horrible, horrible events, in the midst of all of that, and the finger is being pointed, there's one word I haven't heard. I just haven't heard at all. And that's the word repentance. I haven't heard people talking about their own need to personally repent. It's very easy to cast blame. It's a common human condition. It's a very difficult thing to repent. There's never been a great revival without personal self-examination and repentance. Jesus makes it very, very clear in telling, in what he rehearsed in at the end of chapter 17 before the Pharisees, and he spoke those words as well in the presence of his disciples. When God acts, he acts speedily, and he brings justice in setting things right and in judgment, and he brings it speedily. We will never have justice without it being God's justice. And we will never experience that justice without some self-examination, serious self-examination, and personal repentance. So what's your story about repentance? What's your story about your latest encounter when God puts his finger on something that's out of place? When King David, the second king of Israel, this wonderful king upon whom God just established the promises that his kingdom would be forever, his kingdom that would ultimately be focused on the coming of Christ. David, in Psalm 139, rejoices and is just overwhelmed by how wonderful God is. And he says, "Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You know the thoughts, you know the words, you know the intentions of my heart. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I just can't wrap my mind around it. Where can I go to get away from you? I can't. You knew me in my mother's womb, always. You think about me so unbelievably more than I could ever think about myself. It's like counting sheep and I fall asleep. And when I wake up, I'm still with you and you're still thinking about me. And this is all over the world, all across time. Immense and awesome." At the end of that psalm, Psalm 139, David says, "Search me, O God, and try my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way that's everlasting." If you and I say that and we mean it to God, he will put his finger on that which is out of place. If we're like the psalmist in Psalm 19, after he talks about God, the wonder of God's word, And then he concludes with, "May the words of my mouth and the thoughts, the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Remember what happened to Isaiah, the great man of God, a holy man. It said, "I saw the Lord," in Isaiah chapter 6, "high and lifted up. He was surrounded by angels, and they were singing holy, holy, holy to him. And I fell to my knees and I said, 'Woe to me, I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. You see, Jesus promises justice, righteousness to those who cry out to him day and night, and they never give up, and they never give up. We should always pray, and never give up praying, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of all that's going on in the world around us, the chaos and confusion, all the ideas of what it will take to bring order out of chaos, regardless, we should always pray and never doubt, never give up. Will you with me double down on praying always? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I know that it was unusual for Jesus to say to people, it was not the thing that the religious community in his day promoted, praying always and never giving up. They told their people, those who wanted to be righteous followers, pray three times a day. We don't want to harass God with our prayers. We know, Lord, that was kind of the mood of the day, and Jesus just said, always, always pray, and never give up. No matter how you feel, no matter the circumstances around you, Lord, I pray that you would continue to bring me to my knees before you with a soft, pliable heart, with a willingness to listen, an eagerness to listen, and an eagerness to have you search me and know me and point out anything that's out of line in my relationship with you. And I pray this, Lord, for our people and for your people all over the world who call themselves followers of Christ. Regardless of the circumstances, may we pray and never give up. Will you, my dear friends, pray that with me as well? Lord, so teach us to pray and never give up. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.